using the natural one, but because you see, in actually, religious emotion is inherently contradictory. Sooner or later, you're going to get to a circle and you just figure it out. And that is because the religious emotion is motivated by an attempt to overcome the issue. And this is motivated by an attempt to overcome the issue. The problem is, how do you overcome the issue? So the only way you can overcome the instinct is by suppressing the instinct. But the only way you suppress the instinct is with another instinct. So at the bottom, you get caught in a circle. And there's simply no way out of it. There's no way out of it. The only thing that the person can do is going to have to be, see, the person wants to be righteous. It's a desire to be righteous. So what happens is that this desire to be righteous becomes the overpowering, the dominant desire in their life. But the desire to be righteous itself is ego fed. It's something that's fed by the ego. So then the person becomes egoistic. And there's no way to overcome that desire, because what are you going to use to overcome that desire? Another ego? It's impossible. It's an impossibility. So you're caught. The religious person is caught in the circle. That's why people wonder that. So, people that are religious, the name of religion is one of the greatest atrocities in the history. No one has a possible picture. They believe in this religion. But the answer is because the whole thing is ego-focused very much. So they become, once the person is satisfied with the idea that he is superior, because of his religion, which is what he wanted to do, then he could do anything. But once he's superior, so then he's a person who is entitled to be differentiated from the other people. And therefore, in the name of religion, he could do anything.
You see, it's religion.
Tarak is not a very
religion.
Why is it like that? Yes. The person has to be motivated by some self-seeking motivation. The bottom of has to be for itself. Okay, now if it's for the self, so then you're never going to get out of the self. How could you ever get out of the self? It's impossible. Because anything you do is going to be for the self. That's the bottom line. Why are you doing it? I don't care what the person wants. It's like people say to religious people. A religious person wants to be helpful, to help a person become firm. Okay. So they say, well, look, it's very altruistic. The person, for some people, are suspicious. The bottom line is that the person is always going to be motivated by some kind of self-seeking force, which is can't shake, whatever it is. And in the back of his mind, he's motivated by some kind of something for the self. Okay? It's impossible to escape. So why are you doing it? Are you doing it because of Barclay? Are you not maintaining that because of Barclay is here? And you should say, we're helping him. It's a problem that people that are religious know about. Deep down, they sense it, but it's like the greatest fear. Because there's no way to answer that question. They'll try anything to cover it, to cloud it, to get around it. But the truth of the matter is that it's from a logical standpoint, it's unavoidable. It's impossible to explain. That's it. The person has to be concerned about himself, and the person naturally is concerned about himself. Okay, there's nothing wrong with a person being concerned about himself. That's a rational thing, the person to be concerned about himself. And therefore, the person should choose a life that is best for him. Okay. But now that you have this method. The method that Yadis proposed, the solution that Yadis has for this problem, is the only possible solution. There's no other way. The solution is as follows. A person is always motivated by desire for himself, and if he wants to die, you can't try to hide that. A person is going to try to hide that in the guise of being religious is just fooling himself. Because he's saying, I'm not doing this myself. I'm doing this for you. What are you doing it for? You guys are doing it for that. There's no way to win it for. You try to cover it up in disguise as much as you can, but the bottom line is doing it for yourself. And now they say, it's correct. The person wants to do this for himself. So what is he working for? He wants the best life. So he can pursue the best life. And the best life really is where the person is not involved in itself. Okay? So, how could you pursue, how is it possible, how is it possible? So the answer is, since you know, right at this point, you can think about yourself. So, if I'm concerned about myself now, so what do I want? I want the best possible life. My best possible life is when I'm not concerned about myself. So how could I possibly do that? So the answer is, there's only one way. I could put myself into a situation, okay, where, in that situation, my mind will be diverted towards an outward kind of knowledge, search. And then I will be in the best possible state. Okay? So the motivation is correct. The motivation, we don't deny the motivation, the motivation is only for the self. But the ultimate perception is when the person has escaped the self. How has he escaped the self? Because he's found interest in something outside the self, which is where he forgets about himself. That is the best possible state. So it's a transition. But that's only the Torah person that arrives at such a thing. A person who, because what happens to the Torah person, he becomes interested in the infinite knowledge of a set of Baruch. So there he has an area where his mind is captivated. He becomes involved in knowledge. He takes that spark in man that's interested, that's curious, that's interested in the Chachmah. And he puts himself in a situation where that thing can grow. And then once he's in a situation, he is in the best possible state. Okay? But a person who doesn't have a system where there's no Chachmah, it's impossible. So it was a religious man. See, the religious man tries to solve that dilemma without Chachmah. It's impossible to solve that dilemma without Chachmah. Because what is going to, he'll never get out of it. But he's just in the world, he's just in his emotions, right? So he says that. I want to not be selfish. That's not contradiction. So you want to not be selfish. That is the height of selfishness. You want to be a person that's not selfish, and you're always going to be motivated by that desire. So it's a circle. It's impossible to escape. So Yadav says it's impossible to escape if the person remains in the religious emotional sphere. It's the logical circle. But Yadav says that what a person should do, knowing that there is a certain kind of existence which is superior to his, is he should use all his energy to place himself in the best possible situation where that other kind of life takes over. And then he's away from the self. He's away from the self because he's involved in the vision of the world of Chach. When he's involved in the vision of the world of Chach, he forgets about the self. That's the only escape. So the only escape is the world of Chach.
That's it.
Yes, it's possible to do with any area of God's Chach. That's what the Ram says in the beginning of the Yom Chazaka. Chach not the Torah, Chach not the Torah, Chach not the only area of God's Chach. It's not that the Ram implies, but ultimately, to each ultimate level, you have to involve in all of Chach. But certainly nobody argues that in Chachmah Tatar itself, that's what a person is choosing. A person is working on a figure. A person is working on a mission. A person is working on this area itself. So what is he involved in? He's involved in the area. I mean, right now, when a person is thinking about the area, his mind is involved in the area of Chachmah. He's away from himself, and there's any matters that are going with it. That's changing up his regular. But that's because our system of perception is all Chachmah. And if he had nothing to study with, you have just people who gain together classes who go into the world with. What is the world? The world is not in the but the world, too, is that you can protect yourself by getting involved in some kind of emotion. And that's the whole religious world. But the religious world is essentially a contradiction. It's inescapable. Because whatever you're trying to do, at the bottom line, it's some kind of selfishness. That's why they say, you know, the religious belief has the world of eternity, all these things we listen, they always have fun. They have to become kind of a selfish motivation. What are they going for? And even if he fits his own health guard, which of course is a nonsensical idea, and means risk his life, and he says risk his life, but aside from that, he still wants to be the one to help him. Now, he even in his place of empathy, he still wants to be that one, so he did for himself. See? So, the religious man is caught in a circle, a contradictory, it's a miserable circle. Yagat is the only religion that has the answer. Because Yagat tells you that what your person says, well, Kachma is the only thing that takes the person away from yourself. That's the only thing in the world that takes the person away from yourself. Once he thinks of something else, then he is in the world of the, truly in the world of the blessing, so to speak. In the world of the, in the world of making out. What is Adam Rishon Tzadik Machay? The whole idea of Adam Rishon Tzadik Machay is what? That after he ate the diet of the law, now he has to start thinking about what self wants law. But before that, he has to think about it. He's involved in fulfilling God's Chachma. All the animals were brought before him, he categorized them, he was thinking about them, he was making discoveries in nature, looking around the universe, whatever exists, he's trying to define, to understand, to clarify. So what was he involved in? He was involved in the world of Chachma. The world of Chachma is the only world that takes man away from himself, and strangely enough, when man is away from himself, that's when he has the happiness of God. The problem with the fault of all the religions, not just the religions, but not the religions. It doesn't matter whether a person is a Christian or not. In the world of God, it doesn't matter what brand of untruth the person endorses in this area. The person endorses the world of untruth is Catholic, or the Protestant, or the Baltaiva. It's the same thing. It means to say that he's used to mock. The American, the person, the individual that's not, the average person today doesn't seem to me, is very religious. But he has his own religion. His own religion is that what feels good is good. What's private? Money. That's it. Now, the mistake that they're all making is the same mistake. There's one kind of mistake you're all making. The mistake is that I will find happiness by being involved in myself. That's the basic premise of all these things, whether they're religious or not religious. They're different. But the basic idea is that I will find happiness by being involved in myself, being involved and being concerned and thinking about myself and seeing a certain satisfaction with myself. I want to be happy with myself. That's what they believe is happiness. Such a happiness does not exist. It can't exist logically. Since it can't exist. And this kind of an attempt is logically impossible. But the world somehow or other cannot give it up. They cannot give up. So for the world to think that there is a true happiness, which is when you are not involved in yourself and you're involved in Chachma, it doesn't register. They don't think such a thing, because it's against the natural instinct. And since it's against the natural instinct, people will not see unless they're great Chacham. And when I say Chacham, I don't mean they have great brains, I mean that they have the ability to focus their mind in that way. That's a very rare thing. I saw one of the few people that was gay. I mean, he was a happy person. I read about this woman who was a Nobel Prize alumnus. And she was working in a laboratory, and she won the Nobel Prize, and she didn't even know about it. And they told her about it, and she just came out of the laboratory and said, okay, and went back to work. That's a happy person. A person who is involved in something that is giving them more satisfaction than the ego satisfaction of winning out that prize. That's how it is. But such people are very rare. Because he's really involved in something which is far superior to the enjoyment that the person has about thinking about themselves. But most people consider that's when I'll be happy. I can think about myself and think how good I am. Whether they do it choose religion, whether they choose religion as a vehicle, or whether they choose money as a vehicle, or fame as a vehicle, it really makes no difference. It's the same underlying philosophy. And Yagat says just the opposite. Yagat says, man can be happy, but he can only be happy. Strangely enough, there's only one way he can be happy. she's working on the case, she's very unhappy. If she's working on herself, she's going to be very unhappy.
Yes, Rabbi Shapiro, Shapiro says that basically, to summarize, you first put one to him.
First to put one to him. I say what he's living on, okay? I say he's happy as a man. Happy as a man. They tells you right away. What is the money which man is happy? He needs to show us that it's in such show of Mr. Russell Yeager Yomavala. He's very nice. He has a different concern than he's concerned about himself. That's the man who's happy. And there's one more thing, just like in the psychological sense of what I would like to tell you is, see, anyone that comes to a fear like this is obviously here because they feel that there's something deeper that they're searching for than what the emotions have to offer. I mean, that's the premise of learning. Well, I think this is, I mean, anything, there's something deeper. Okay. But the reason is an important thing, because, you see, if that's your premise, then you have to be honest and consistent with your premise. And honesty and consistency demands that when your mind sees something, that you should attempt to that and guide your life by that idea. That is if you don't have that ability, so then you're forfeiting your whole purpose. And learning by ethics or anything, you're forfeiting your purpose. You can't do that. You can't say that when I see an idea, I'm not going to... Well, if you say, when I see an idea, I must follow it. You can't say that. If you tell me, see, again, you are so keen on someone to follow us, then obviously there's no purpose in your life. And you also have to recognize that no matter how many people endorse a certain view, if your mind tells you that they're wrong, you can't follow that. And you've got to have that courage. If you don't have that kind of courage, then obviously you can't get that universal approval. And that's it. And it's one way or the other. There's no escape of that. Now, the point I'm trying to make is the truth of the matter is that what we're saying is not such a far-fetched stress of fear. It's true. It's the basic principle of yoga. So it doesn't necessarily, the basic principles don't necessarily have to be so impossible to grip. I could show you that most people really know this in a certain way. Because people are always amazed when they see these individuals. In their minds have so-called made it, and yet they see the tragic lives that they have. Amazing. Read about them. These drivers are like, the person was on drugs, the person was a low-lifer, unhappy, miserable, suicidal, all these things. And the people are mixed. But the people who read about it always have one thought in the back of their mind. And that is, if I were like that, I would never try to commit suicide. That is crazy. Okay? So they assume that all these people are of a different type completely. They're essentially not of my race. I'm a different, that's a different human race. These things would never happen to me. And once a person makes that assumption, they realize that such an assumption is totally irrational. You want to make such an assumption, you might as well say, that maybe your body, you don't have a heart and a lung like anybody else, but you have, you're somehow or other, for examining your inside, to find a totally different way and a mechanism that are making your body work. But that, if you can accept that, then you can accept this idea too. Okay? Now, you have to realize that this assumption is only the emotions which are really attempting to give a person conviction, which should not be the role of the emotion. See, now this, we believe in people say, oh, well, you don't believe in emotions? Sitting here, and you're analyzing, oh, you don't believe in emotions, you're called philosophers. No, we believe in emotions. Emotions exist. We differ one. We say, emotions are not the thing that you should use to create conviction. Okay? And no matter how powerful the conviction is, the comes from that source. And if you're a chacham, what is a chacham? A chacham is a person. The difference between a chacham and an average person is a chacham knows and can trace from which source conclusions and convictions are coming from. The average person can't do that. Doesn't even know if it exists. What's the person wanting for abortion or anti-abortion? So, they are convinced. Whatever position you have, they're the correct one. Do you know what the source of your conviction is? Can you prove, can you demonstrate, is it the mind that's telling you this? intellectual thing? No, but your feelings have to be right. That is the average person. As soon as you feel something very strongly, you pick yourself up and make it true. You know, Chacham is a person of knowing that if you feel something very strongly, but a very strong feeling is not coming from the source of the mind. It's coming from another source. You can differentiate in his mind between that source and between another source. That's totally different. That's why Chazal says, come into Chacham, a different kind of people. And Chazal says that there were different groups. To be a Tamil Chacham was a different group. And Amorah. That's why he says, Amorah and Tamil Chacham. What's the difference? This is precisely the difference. The Amorah is a person who is a true analyzer. There's no suffering left on his face, just position. He doesn't know what is in his emotions and what is in his mind. There's no method of grappling with that. Whereas the Tamil Chacham is a person who can see position. Now, once a person knows that he's just like anybody else, then he doesn't have to perform all these experiments that all these people have gone through and that led to total destruction and disaster, and at best led to a life that is no better than this. I mean, people are amazed that these people who are so-called native that they should be so self-destructive and so unhappy and don't have the things that they imagine they have. But then people always say, well, but then there are others that we don't know about. But I say this, I say that's not the either. But even those others, if you examine their lives, you see it's not the way you would do it either. There is no one, basically, that will do what you think you will do. Okay? For instance, the person says, well, if I had that 1,000 X-Stars, here's an idea. That's it, I didn't get that. Maybe it's $100 right now, so I didn't even get it right now. So you see, they are in the exact same situation as you are. You're looking for the next title, and you're looking for the next title. There's just no difference. This question is which title you're looking for. But they have not reached the point where they say, well, I'm in the promise, I'm in the land of bliss. So you imagine you would be in, if you were given. No one, there's no one in the world like that. This is not a thing. Okay? So forgetting about the fact of the tragedy and the fact that that the whole quest ends up in failure in such a great preponderance of occasion, but even the ones that are failures are still not what you think will be. So obviously, you can hear that the emotion is speaking something which is not the real language. Okay? A person with fear, a person with a chacham, is a person who can see through this truth. There was something wrong with the whole quest of humanity. It was my whole quest. Right? And what is the mistake? There's a mistake here. There's a big mistake. The whole humanity is one big experiment. And this big experiment is an experiment in failure, basically. And it shows you that man is a quest. He thinks he knows what he's going for, but he's going and he's not. And your mind can tell you that. You see that clearly. And once your mind sees that clearly, well, let it go. You can say, well, go along with that herd of people, because it's impossible. I mean, that's the other person. But the Torah demands that you do not do that. That's what I'm going to read. The Torah demands that you think clearly and say, one second, this is one bad experiment. Now, I have to learn from this experiment. There's something wrong in this, essentially, with the whole approach of wrong. That's the Yadda says. The Yadda says the approach is wrong. It's very simple why the approach is wrong. Because of the fact that these people are always interested in attaining a kind of happiness. You see, what happens is, and I said this before, what happens is people think, the reason why people think gain happiness is because they think they know what it is. That's the problem. They think they know what it is, and trying to gain that thing of happiness. What is it happiness is? Everybody has a moment in their life that's very happy about themselves. You know, the moment you have that moment, you say, ooh, if I could stay this moment over 7 years, it's good. That's happiness. And you fixed onto that moment. Because that moment gave you a tremendous quest. And I don't deny that moment gave you a tremendous quest. I just say that it's impossible to take that kind of quest and extend it over a lifetime. It's psychologically impossible for you to really need to do something. There's no such possibility. That's on the contrary. The moment you have that, you need to have faith. And by nature, you're always going to need something new. And it's an impossibility to constantly have every single moment something new about yourself. A new great fantastic consciousness. That's why you have what Bertie Russell said, which is the threat. That Napoleon wanted to be like Caesar, and Caesar wanted to be like Alexander the Great, and he Alexander the Great wanted to be like Hercules, a mythical figure. Okay? So the end of the line is fantasy. You can never satisfy such a kind of the desire for the self is endless. You cannot be satisfied. There's only one answer. Right? Simple solution. The Torah has a solution. The solution is turn away. Turn away from yourself. turn yourself into something, into really something else, something other than yourself. And the moment you find that your mind is interested in something else, you're trying to bring up the person. Now, there's one great psychologist, Theodore Wright, and Sidney Freud. In one of his books he writes, he says that towards the end of his life, he realized, he says, the happiest moment he had in his life was when he was thinking about his work, when he was thinking about his job. After all the struggle for happiness and all the psychology, he came to the realization that there was one time that he achieved some kind of happiness. That was in the process of the struggle when he wasn't thinking about it. So the whole approach of humanity is incorrect. You see that Chazal was very private life. They were not interested at all in making any kind of big impression on people. They were not, they ran away from people. And they lived very private life. And you see, like, the Gemara says in time at the store where they needed room. So they went to the grandson of Chani Amado. If you just read the story then, the more time, you see the man was very private life, and rather normal. Everything, the whole story of the Gemara there, that came to the past, and it's just certain things in 20 years. They listen later. Why did he do this? He explained everything why he did it, you know, what his reason was. But you see from the whole story that the meaning was removed. They were not interested in making it in society, or any society. Even in the society of Chazal, there was no desire to make it in that society. You see, there was nothing prophet, and unreal, they dethroned him. So he had Malchus for a while, but then they took it away, and the next day he was in the best of his family. Dethroned, actually, nothing. What's going on there? What should we be taking up there? These are different Chazal means to teach. The truth is that man can only be happy if that's the only concept. He's interested in ideas, he's interested in cause. If he's interested in prestige, if he's interested in money, if he's interested in fame, if he's interested in making himself happy by thinking about himself, he is headed for difficulty. It's the basic principle in the show that it's a simple, very simple formula. The formula is so simple because, as I said, it's proven experimentally every day. You don't need a lot of the human race is the one's biggest problem. So you don't have to isolate your situation to create experiments, conditions. You have it all over. Okay? This is important. Because what happens is, at this point, the person can come into the press. But the person will say, look, I can't do it. They're telling you, forget about myself. So I can't forget about myself. So the advice may be great, but the fact is, how could I do this? So again, we're caught. So this advice can't help you either. So what does it say? What does it try to teach me? This is great advice. It's true. Okay, I thought about it. I see. It must be true. That's it. Happy person. Person is resolved. You're talking. Wonderful. But the fact is, how is it possible for you to do that? You're giving me great advice, and I can't do it. So what value is it? So that's where Yadav says. The answer of Yadav says. But the answer of Ram says up in the picture. And every day you walk out of your house, and you look at the Mizrach, and you come to the realization, you think of the two ideas. And every day you come back, and you think of the two ideas, and you know what you have. And the next day you do the same thing again. What if it means? It means to say, the Mizrach, the idea of Mizrach means that man constantly has to think of the two ideas. Because to make a wholesale change like that, if a person, see, that's another emotion. The other emotion is, I want to be totally prayer, totally interested in everything else, and never interested in myself. That's the same emotion. You're showing yourself, you're establishing yourself in this. So now this became the thing today. Okay? So the only way that a person can do it is a person has to have a realization. What if I'll say, Lo alecha malacha lignar, yatarasa rebuttal lignar. Which means that the perceptive state is possible in a smaller quantity. It's not an all or nothing kind of thing. In other words, a person came to learn for an hour, so you see he has been involved in something outside the self for that hour. That's a wonderful thing. That's a very great thing. A person can realize that for that hour he partook of life. It can't be a person can't be convenient about this.
Dean is a bad emotion. The person has to, the person has to realize that it's possible to vary in different degrees. That's why it's a pervasion of power. First, to be most of them, you're first occasion. One most of them, and there's the rest of the life, and one of each year. And besides that, what's the problem is when they go in, really. So, it could be, you could argue that I'm a phenomenon. Yeah. Maybe the only ones that should, metaphor and phone. I'm not even discussing that point. I'm just saying that insofar as you do it, if anyone says, no phone from you, you need to leave it at the top. But it could be that on the whole, I'm not arguing with a life on the whole, it's very or it's not good. That's a philosophical argument. I'm speaking correctly. Classically, the way a person can improve his life is to try every inch as far as he can, any little bit that he could do to involve himself more in the world of ideas, in the world of thought, is improving his life. So that is the goal. That is the goal that Yadav really sets up. And it does it. Every day they look at me and say, I should be involved in Chachma for Kaddish Baruch Hu and the Torah, and you walk out and you go into the world, and then you slip and you get into a world of nonsense, but then you come back. You pull out again. So you can value the moment that you're pulled out. That is, and certainly that doesn't realize, but the moment that you're pulled out, you don't even realize. The problem with the person is that you never realize how fortunate it is important. That's the nature, but you only realize things. So if you choose, you drop things in either direction when you realize it. But if you stay steady, you're not going to realize it, because that's the way it goes in. Because there's no signal inside, that's giving you, you're not getting any signal. But that doesn't mean that a person shouldn't know in his mind what it's supposed to be. And a person doesn't have to look too far to see the kind of life a person has that pursues. You know, things involving Torah going on. A person that pursues Torah on some level, on some kind of a level, Kaveh Yitim HaKara, I'm not saying more or less. Kaveh Yitim HaKara. Kaveh Yitim HaKara isn't Kaveh Yitim HaKara. It means this is a part of his life. The part of his everyday life, that he doesn't realize how much peculiar his life is. When the average person, you sit there and stop and compare. And see that, what you're the difference between your life and the average person. See, and look at what they do, and what they resort to. All the things that they resort to is a sign of serious unhappiness. Look at your life. Okay, you say, I could be happier. You could be happier. But look at you. You could be happier. But the fact is that a person fails to realize what kind of a level of existence he's experiencing. He doesn't realize that. It's a very thing to say. Every day, it's on his agenda. Every day. One over today. Some time today, an hour, something, an idea, thought. The person is that kind of an attitude. That if a person lives like that, it is, I say, his life is not only changed during those moments when he is pursuing the idea, where he's not thinking about the self anymore, and he's in a world of pursuing Chachma, which is a world of enjoyment. I say not only that time, but I say his whole day is affected by that. His whole day is affected by that. And a person doesn't realize what that safeguards him against the alternative lifestyle that he would fall into if he wouldn't be such an individual. In other words, basically, in one way, Yadav produces such a person, that's a person that recognizes that the only solution is to Chachma, the pursuit of knowledge, the pursuit of Chachma. And the person every day has on his agenda, some moment of the day, sometime I'm not going to let this world go by without pursuing some kind of Chachma. That person, that individual, is qualitatively different than any other individual in society. And it raises him to a higher level. He doesn't even realize the benefits he's reaping from that kind of an attitude. He doesn't realize the benefit. Because he doesn't realize the destruction of the other lifestyle. He has to spend time studying it, which I think sometimes the person should do. Just to realize the difference. But aside from that, beyond that, of course, as the person grows, the individual changes. And it's a long process of growth. What did the Rav once say? He says, when Kippur comes every year, he says, and you may be Christian in Kippur, so you have to have your Kippur Kippur par excellence, at the highest level. But that's the only possible. So, but I'm saying it's true, it's correct. It's correct. And every time a person increases his involvement in thought and learning, it's small, the person gains and grows and becomes a different individual, it's correct. But even on the first step, there's a tremendous qualitative difference between such a person's life and between the person who's involved. His goal is to seek, but the only thing, at the root of his whole
operation. His whole modus operandi at the ruling universe is a false notion which he's following, a false idea that's only going to lead to the profound and lead to devastation. You can imagine. First, he's following a false idea that if he perceives his idea, it means so devastating. The reason why most people aren't devastated is because they're not successful. That's what happens. Success is a dangerous thing. If a person is successful and fulfills a dream, then he's in serious danger. Because if that dream is empty and he is not in line with what affords the person happiness, he is totally devastated. I mean, over-stressing is still alive today, so that he wasn't successful.
He's dead because...
No, seriously, he's dead because he wasn't successful. And often, mentioned all different names. Many, last month. But the reason is it's the same idea. It's because these people, the moment they attain what their fantasy told them they're going to attain, it's empty, there's nothing there, it's too far from it. That is the worst nightmare in a person could ever face. There's no escape, there's no way out of it. There's only one way. That's fine. Now, so you have to understand that it's only logical to recognize that a person that his life is guided by an idea that is total devastation, if he can reach the end of that goal, he's going to be destroyed. It would have to be too much logic to think of what kind of a life a person like that must have. It's not just devastating if he reaches the goal. He's being guided by a totally erroneous course. Because a person is trying to get to the moon. He's guided by the wrong course. So if he gets this, he succeeds, he's going to be totally destroyed. How far away is he from his goal? He has to be proceeding in the wrong direction constantly. It's impossible otherwise. So the rationality dictates that a person, that's why actually Chazal has a beautiful tefillah. The tefillah is what they don't say anymore. But the tefillah that says, Shisham Tochoki, and the Yosef Beit HaMedrash, although he said it only by a tefillah, although Shisham Tochoki, the Yosef Kona, it says, Ano Amelim Vahim Amelim. And it sounds like, it's not a fun thing. It's not a fun thing. It's a reality thing. But it's telling you, it says that let me ask that question first. It depends on the question. The question is, how come those people don't see the enough? Okay? I want you to know something. You have to remember what you got to remember what the Rama says. Aniel Mati Vachavzi, Kol Adam Kazi. Every man is a liar. Okay? That means you cannot trust man. From when did man become a liar? Okay, when did man become a liar? I'll tell you when he became a liar. The moment you put on clothes. The moment you put on the bed, that's what you're doing a lot. The thing is that when a person, a person will always try to make others think that he is a fortunate, very fortunate individual. There is another emotion. That's a more normal emotion, by the way. The other emotion is to make everybody think that you're unfortunate and you're doing the thing. That's the emotion of an army. That's the emotion of a poor person. That's a more distorted. But a person will be caught in one of the two. Because that's why an army really says, the prophet says, Yehdal Evyom Kevah, so what was your name? And then the prophet says, Ah, Ephes Yilon Yehbach Evyom. But the Gemara says, contradicting, you can't say there will never be, and you will never see, so you tell me there will not be any name? But the Gemara says, no, two different states of society. One state of society is Ocean Return of Samaha. Then you won't have any name. And in the states where they're not really, they don't really do things the whole society isn't living properly, then you always have on your mind, because an army really isn't just a man. There's no reason for a person to be poor. That's a normal person. And a person, of course, is physical, that's not something else. But if a person is a healthy individual, why is he poor? He's poor because he can't organize his life properly. So it's a fault, it's a psychological fault. So when you have a society that's not perfected, you're always going to have these kavanas, the sacrifices of society. Those people couldn't make it, and they didn't make it out of it. And they usually resort to the other emotion. That's where the most pitiable, the sympathy. It's an unhealthy attitude. The healthy attitude is the other way, which is both are alive. But the other attitude is that the person, I'm a very fortunate person. The person has pride. And when Nixon presents himself as a fortunate elder statesman, unbelievable. He is not happy. It's an impossibility. That's why, as a matter of fact, the one philosopher, when they're arguing about happiness, they say, well, why don't we just, well, look, this person can't be happy. He says, you cannot know happiness unless you understand the inner psyche and how it works. If you don't understand that, you can't say you believe in it, and then it will kill your motive. People are liars. Call Evan Kozer. Call Evan Kozer. Religious people say anything in the name of religion. They say any kind of nonsense lies that they say happiness is this thing and that thing. This is false. I'm saying if you, that's not the right thing. I'm not saying that look at these people's lifestyle. They say they're unhappy. That's not what I said before. I didn't say look at the people's lifestyle if they say they're unhappy and you see they're unhappy. I'm not saying it. I'm saying look at the people who have that which you think would afford you the greatest happiness, and look at the guy, look at the person trying to destroy himself and living completely different. I'm not saying believe him. You're giving me two different cases. I'm saying look at the people who you think should be the most happiest people in the world, and you'll see, you look into their lives, you'll see either they are, you'll be totally surprised because they're in such misery and their life is such a sham, falling apart. In the fact, that's what they say. In the fact, you see a person who's asking a suicide, you think on that, and I'm saying look at the facts of their lives, and you'll see that this image that you think is going to lead you to happiness, look where it leads you. What? Now, I'm saying the second point I'm making, the first point was that if you look at those, there's something wrong if you see a person that you're going to say that this person is a different body than you. You wouldn't say that. You can't say they have different sizes. If you see that the way this person is, you realize it, I would never live. There's something wrong with it. It requires an explanation. That's one. The second point I made was that even those who do not exhibit, the tragedy, you'll find if you look at their lives carefully, the way they live, that they are not living again the way you think they would be living. Okay? At best, they're living the kind of life which is similar to yours. Okay? Same kind of problem. That was my second. Now he's asking me, he's saying, but what about a person, or the person who presents himself, a Ronald Reagan or a Nixon, who presents himself as being happy? I tell you that that is not true. I say that if you look at when you just see them on the screen in a specific time, of course they're going to present themselves as being satisfied with themselves. That's because a person has a certain amount of pride, and they always want to give that, they always want to get that impression. But if you look closely in their day-to-day lives, you will not see great joy of what, or the kind of thing that you expect, or you need to get. It's because the reason why you believe them is because you project onto them what you would do. See, they have a very, very good position. When they tell you they're happy, well, what do you mean? I'm still serving on the face. It's because of that same mechanism that's causing you to think that way, and their lie is being supported by you. But I say that if you look into any one of these people's lives, you'll never find what you think you're going to find there. That's the case. Okay? That's it. Okay. But the answer is that all of man's knowledge just brings him closer and closer to the ultimate source of knowledge. In other words, we really discuss the subject. Now, in the world of knowledge, the way it's not that the person is unhappy. The person is not unhappy. Yes, the person is definitely not unhappy. It's just that the process demands new material. It's a part of the process of gaining knowledge. But the process is not because you're unhappy with the past ideas, it's because the process of reaching closer. You see, knowledge, any little bit of knowledge of personality is a part of the whole system. The person wants to grasp the whole system. The person wants to learn something. So what does he want? He wants to understand the whole system right at the bottom floor. The system there, an underlying system, a unified system. When you try to see, you take one coin, after you finish that point, you start moving to another point. So you're going around, circling around, to get to the core of the system. That's the way knowledge works. That's the way human knowledge works. It's not the person who's unhappy with that one piece of knowledge. The one piece of knowledge is a means towards a whole uncovering. That's the way knowledge works. But there's no unhappiness. Each step is a happy step. So as a person, when he finishes one area, his mind naturally reaches all... Actually, the truth of the matter is, a person really moves properly, he shouldn't have to close the mesecta and then open up the next mesecta. He should be already into the other mesecta because there are points already from here that are unfinished business that should be drawing him into the next area. It's like a long process, you know? It's like one thing leads to another in the world of knowledge until the person gets the whole of the world of knowledge. The person gains, the person gains present sense of one subject will lead to another one. And the person studies psychology. If the person studies psychology, it will naturally lead him into philosophy. And the areas of knowledge are all tied together, really. They're all tied together. It's not that you finish one instructor and you say, I can start another instructor. That really is the difference between the person's method of learning. The person's method of learning should really be a one thing to another.
Just like there's a unified field in terms of the world of physics, and you don't have to put down one notebook and open another notebook. He's being led from one point to the next, going around, circling around, closer and closer and closer to the center, to the core. But then the world of physics is only one component of the world of knowledge of God. The world of knowledge of God is really involved all chachma, all chachma, and then it leads towards that core, to the knowledge of the Creator. Because the Creator is the source of the whole thing, of everything we have in the universe and the world. Okay? Why is it that the cipher leaves a person unfulfilled if he finishes one cipher? Like one philosopher said, if the person satisfies the cipher, either he's not the mixed cipher or else he's depressed. One of the two. There's no one of the two. But in the world of Chachma, I'm saying it's not so. I'm saying when you finish one idea, it doesn't mean the person's a depressor. Yes. Yes, just to get back to the idea of Again, everybody realizes that there is always an ability that a person has who is in a higher situation to fool a person in a lower situation with regard to his feelings. Common example is money. A person is very wealthy, can easily fool other people by saying, look, I don't care about the money. The money's not, I have plenty of money, I don't need any money, I'm not interested in it. We know darn well that that's not true. Matter of fact, if anything, he has a great interest in money than this other fellow. That's his whole life. But people will believe that. They'll always believe that because they'll always believe you when you take it. And that's the best way to fool a person. You want to fool a person. You want to know how to fool a person? You do your thing to do. Just take something that, in the state that they would imagine, you see, they would think that they would be this way. And you got to the state. You can project that onto their screen, no good. They're convinced about it already. You really can't fool somebody. You see, that a con man doesn't fool somebody. A con man just fools, because no one is that fantastic that they can fool somebody. All a con man does point is like this. My point is not just that it should be shown, demonstrated before, for sure. But the fact is that if you understand the nature of man, you'll see it as a shit. If you understand the nature of man, you'll see it as a because man by nature, if you understand psychology, and I feel go into too much in depth into the world of psychology here, the world of the unconscious, which is important material in order to understand what we're talking about. But the fact is that when a person, every satisfaction that a person imagines in his life is not that satisfaction, it's only given him because it harks back to a previous unconscious satisfaction. For instance, if a person will want the approval of the masses, he wants the praise of the masses. It's not really the praise of the masses that he wants in his unconscious. What he wants really is the praise of his parents and his child. So it's a prototype. This thing is not the real thing. That's why when he gets that thing, he loses his interest very quickly. And anything a person wants in life is not what he... The problem is he thinks that's what he wants. That's why a person wants a particular item, whether it be a car or a house or whatever it is. The moment he gets it, he'll never give you the satisfaction you thought it will. No, that's that you can see yourself. You'll never get the satisfaction you imagine you will be younger. Well, people say that the anticipation is the greater the pleasure, which is always correct. But the reason is because of the nature of the psyche of man. So what I'm telling you is that intrinsically, and that's why it's always a fool. So that's why I'm saying if you look into that, you will see that the nature of man is such that if every satisfaction, he either has to be depressed. He's depressed because it didn't achieve what he thought it would, that's number one. Or else he must be immediately on to the next satisfaction in order to avoid the depression. Basically, I would say it's one thing. I would disagree with that philosophy. I would say it's really one thing that the person has just been satisfaction, and that is depression. Because he never got the satisfaction that he imagined. But in order to avoid the depression, he goes on to the next cycle. Okay, he goes on to the next thing. Whereas in the world of thought, the person doesn't have that kind of experience. Because there's a different... The nature of the enjoyment is of a different kind. He's not trying to enjoy something which appeals to his senses. As a matter of fact, I'll prove it to you.
What kind of affection does a person have about life? No. It's a hard thing. So life has to come out. Then you give you that thing. And then you say to yourself, hey, look, I'm running from anywhere. That's unbelievable. It was great. I didn't realize that I couldn't do it. The fantasy in that area does not work. It's just the opposite. The fantasy attaches itself to instinctual gratification. Gratifications of thought and ideas, the world of fantasy does not attach itself to. And it's just the opposite. But when the person is engaged and involved, they reflect back and they see, it's amazing. I really enjoy this conversation. Usually a person in our society, people are on such a low level that even to admit such a thing is against the religion of the masses. Because the religion of the masses maintains that you're not supposed to enjoy ideas. You can enjoy this. A person who enjoys something, the person says, wow, but you, I really enjoy discussing this point. That's not something to enjoy. So therefore, the person immediately is subordinated to society, and he doesn't mention it, doesn't realize he's right. There's no unconscious substitution, there's no one. The world of private unconscious substitution will never, the person will never achieve or attain what he thinks he will attain. Oh, this is the mode of looking. Without unconscious psychology. He says, in order for a thing to be a desired object, to offer man pleasure, It has to be something that you desire, but it must be new. And newness is a constant thing. It must always be new. And newness can't last. By definition, it can't last. So the moment is a very short-lived kind of thing. And the moment it's over, and it requires tremendous efforts to get to it, and it's short-lived, and then it's back in the world of trying to make it again. Now, if the person's motivation in learning is to put down others, then he doesn't enjoy the learning. Then all he enjoys is the put down. The put down is no different than any other kind of emotional enjoyment. So how often do you put down others? You're only going to enjoy it at that moment. That's no different than any other. Even if you use learning for another enjoyment, it's not learning and enjoying anymore. When I'm saying enjoy learning, only the person enjoys the idea. He doesn't care whose idea it is. He doesn't care if it's his idea or somebody else's idea. He enjoys the idea. There's no ego involved. He just enjoys the beauty of the thought. He enjoys the heart. That's what I'm discussing. It's a different kind of a mindset. I'm not discussing whether the person enjoys being the one that discovered the idea. That's an ego enjoyment. That's not an enjoyment of the idea. Enjoyment means you enjoy the idea itself. But say, you enjoy the vision of you that you see from the by the thought. Person will contrast what he had before, what he has now, he's better off now, of course I'm good, but it shows it's not enough to make a person happy because he has to contrast it. If that's the case, you can work on all day being happy. Just take a very unfortunate situation. That's not something sad. Man needs more than that. Man needs more than that. And these things that give the one caller said a good word, he said about money. Then, I'm feeling wealth. I'm enjoy wealth now. Because the only thing I enjoy now is the fact that I don't need money. That's a benefit. Which is correct. I mean, it's good. It's good. He doesn't understand it. It's not a positive thing. It's just a positive thing. It just doesn't mean what I mean. But when people imagine it's a tremendous positive thing, the fantasy, that is when the person is headed for devastation. But he doesn't understand also. He doesn't understand that He doesn't analyze the fantasy as effort, as money. Not money, it's more to it than that. Just understand the human psyche, that's going to allow a person to stretch it to that. Multifarious determinant, a lot of things in my mind that one lump sum. Mm-hmm. So if you understand that, then even though, yes, the human psyche is constructed in a way that is based on experiences from early childhood, and it starts to reproduce it. And the person can never satisfy a problem. It must be satisfied. The person satisfies a problem, you find people who just did X and that was it. And then you imagine anything more. And you find it impossible. Okay, the first method is to recognize, like I said before, how fortunate a person is that they can just engage in learning power on some kind of a level. That alone, if a person would realize that, then they would alone would place them on course. Okay? See, that's what I said about truth. The person said that truth. Even though I just said that, even though I'm maintaining that a person can't be happy, a person cannot be happy by looking at by constantly looking at the negative, that's true. But this is not, the reason why it's still created, the person is still all fine, but it means to say that the person should, the truth really shows the person what the world of reality is. That's the purpose of the truth.
purpose here is not to make you happy by the negative, but it's to give a person a realization of what the world is. And if the Tila, that's what the Tila says, Ani Mashti, Ani Mashti, Ani Mashti Dei Torah, Ani Mashti is one of the Torah. Ani Yom of Emanel. I get up and they get up. I get up to give the Torah and they get up for Zvon the Torah means things that are, words that are, wasn't even empty. It means words that don't look any real satisfaction for them. They don't look any real satisfaction. Call it Zvon the Gate. What do you call it Zvon the Gate? It means all the words are tired. It means if people sit down in a conversation, there is a certain kind of a boredom. There's a certain kind of boredom. People are trying to attain some kind of a satisfaction, but it's like empty. It's like, that's what people have to drink. Because the conversation itself is not really satisfying. It's just empty, basically. They're trying to drink, they're trying to watch television, they're trying to do different things to divert themselves. Because the basic conversation is empty. It means run the bell. It's not exciting. Exciting is ideas, thought. That's what the bell is. Because I work and I receive reward, they work and they receive no reward. It means to say that there's another part of the person, the soul, which benefits, and not the instrument. And this part is being benefited. Whereas the other individuals, they're not benefiting the essential part of their nature. I am heading for Olam Haba, and they are heading for a pit. What it means is, that's what I told you before. What does it mean? It means the main idea that's guiding their lives, the main purpose is to actually destroy them if they ever follow through. But our goal is on the contrary, is one which is the most fulfilling. That's Chayalam Haba. Chayalam Haba means the perfect kind of life. Now, there's one thing about the Torah that always bothered me. Why do you have to put down somebody else? You have a good life, you have to put down somebody else. So why, when they organize this Torah, why do they put down the other one? I am doing this, and they are doing that. They're running through their shachas, I'm running through my life. Why don't you talk about yourself? You have a regular life, you have to work.
One or the other. If you're not doing one, you're doing the
other. That's correct. That's a good point. It's the fact that the person's emotions have to be involved in something. Man by nature can't be involved in nothing. There's no things that are neutral and regular. I'm not going to be involved in Chachma, I'm not going to be involved in Tiger. No philosophy. Can you do it? That's why Chazal says, the Sartan of Avadatan, why he says, the Sartan of Avadatan, you'll turn away, because seeing your sorrow, then see a person turns away from sorrow, immediately, Avadatan of Avadatan, something has to take up the vacuum, the gap. You can't have a vacuum, you can't have empty space in your personal psyche. So that's correct. So it's either or. That's it. But, yes. But the comparison is that's correct. It's one or the other. But there's another reason also. First, there's another reason. The other reason I believe is, like we said before, that the person should have the realization. It's important to have the realization of what really Torah is to a person, what it means to live a Torah life. So you must have the context. You must have the context. The context brings out the reality of how fortunate you are. But not because you're trying to make yourself happy. That's in the physical side, that's where it works. You want to make yourself happy by saying that I'm not sick, I'm not this, I'm not that. But over here, it's in order for the soul to realize, it's a realization. That this is the good, it's a realization of the good. And in that realization of the good is one fantastic thing. And that is that the person should realize not only that he's learning is a value, okay, but he's not losing out anything by not involving himself in anything. That's the underlying. In other words, if you didn't learn today, and if you didn't do anything today, you would still be superior to these people who are following purposes. You understand what I mean? That's what it is. We're running, they're running. What are you running? It means to say that they're running is completely empty and worthless. Which means that it's not just that you're learning, but don't think in the back of your mind, I'm learning, I'm involved in the world of Chachma, but I'm missing out, I could be involved in earning more money. No. That money fantasy is a total fantasy of destruction. So,
One thing to say that you're involved in something bad. That's why the two are phony, though. Because in the world at large, you can't say something like this. You can say, well, look, I'm president of a corporation, so I gain by that, and I'm better off than the other guy who's just a worker. That's true. But still, you know the joke with the somebody called Russell. If I were you, I'd be wealthier than you. Why? Because I wouldn't give up my television. That's it. It's a joke, but it's true. Why? Because the fact is, Rothschild can't be doing what the other guy's doing. So he still is losing out from what the other guy's doing, the regular job. If he was Rothschild fucking made 50,000 a year, he'd have to 2,000 more. Okay? So the fact is, in the world of Kaiser, you can't make a statement like this. You can't say that I'm happy I'm this, but I'm not that. No, I'm both. Okay, it's impossible, but yeah, but still, my fantasy could entertain such an idea, but in Torah it's not true. In Torah it's not the shot that we have Torah, plus we have what a person is running us to cover us. Now we have something better. Now we have something better. Or we could have that and this. You can't have this there. Because they're mutually exclusive. This person is running us to something, and so if you didn't do anything, you'd be better than him. Let's say you were Kaveh Ishi Katoa today, you couldn't learn today. You're still better, because you didn't involve yourself in this nonsense. You didn't involve yourself in the fantasy, which is false. That's what the Tzira is saying. That's why the Tzira has the analogy and the comparison. Because it's telling you that you're not just more fortunate. You are fortunate in two ways. A is what you pursue, and two, you're not pursuing the harmful thing. It's like saying, I'm happy that I'm going to a physician, and I'm not taking a harmful medicine. That would be an analogy. Yes. The mitzvahs fit into these ideas because mitzvahs really are guidelines. The mitzvahs guide a person towards the superior state. Every mitzvah is there. The mitzvah works in two ways. There are two ways that the mitzvah works to guide a person towards the superior state. One way the mitzvah works is they control the fire. They don't let a person gets involved in fire, it becomes a part of the philosophy. It's corrupted to the point of an American society. You can't imagine that an idea could be enjoyable. But the person is completely involved in the fire, they're done. There's no such thing. So the moment you allow people to get involved in fire at a certain level, they're hopeless. That's the idea of our novel. Okay? So therefore, the Torah, first of all, doesn't allow a person to get involved in Kaiser to a degree where it's harmful, in general. That's why it controls his eating habits, it controls his sexual activity. Okay? That's basically besides that, every mitzvah that you have, in some way, directs the person towards the higher goal. There's a mitzvah particular taking away from the physical. It gives him a chosen way to be happy and he took it directly towards the idea. And every mitzvah that a person has, every mitzvah that is not just a mitzvah, which is a performance, but it's a mitzvah that has ideas. There's no mitzvah that doesn't have ideas. So the mitzvah itself, in order to do the mitzvah, if you want to do it properly, or if you just allow yourself to be honest insofar as the mitzvah is concerned, you don't just try to perform it perfunctorily, then you have to become engaged in the idea. It's almost impossible not to. I think you have to make a conscious effort not to. First, you're sitting in a circle, and the circle is in the construction of the circle, and looks around the circle, and it starts thinking about what it is, what the ideal circle is, and what about this, and what about that, and what about this wall, and that wall, how does that work, and the four walls, and the three walls. The moment a person starts asking any kind of question about it, he immediately has to get involved in the structure, in the ideas, in the chachma of the mitzvah. And there isn't a single mitzvah Torah that doesn't have an abundance of chachma attached to it. So the mitzvahs themselves, they work in two ways, directly and indirectly. First of all, they guide a person towards the proper life, taking them away from the emphasis on Torah. They don't take a person away from Torah. You know, like Shabbos. Shabbos takes a person away from Torah. No, the contrary. Mitzvah Shabbos are chilos. Yeah, even beer. That's one of the courses. Mitzvah Shabbos. So you see that the Torah of the Shabbos doesn't take a person away from Kabbalah. What it does is it puts a frame. Instead of a person, that's why, you know, it's an interesting thing. Nothing says, nothing in the oracles, it's a beautiful thing. You say, nothing is Makkah, Makkah, Makkah. You say, the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, to find where you are from. My nation, the king, evil king. Osir, Israel, your building name. And then it says, Makor, Mayim, Chaim, the source of living water. Lasso, Lamb, Borah, to dig out pits. Borah, which Borah, pits that are broken, that don't contain the water. Of course, it's evolving on the time, because the main thing was the water and the pits and the wells is the life source, the milk. So when you look at the question, you say, what are the two things? So two things, my nation. First of all, they're abandoning me to go after pits which don't hold water. What are the two things? Sounds like one thing. But what's the answer? The answer is, it means like this. O.C. Ozu, I'll buy O.C. Ozu as the rest of tomorrow. Take a look at the Jewish life, that's the answer. Take a look at the Jews that abandoned God. But what did they substitute? What kind of a life did they have? What kind of a life did the Jew have when he was with her? So kind of life he had. When he got together to eat, so he knew that there's no such thing, you can't eat without discussing an idea. Otherwise, it's like you're eating from a vote of Zohar. It's like you're eating from a pagan festival, pagan feast. So what do they do? So therefore, they knew that when you sit down to eat, you have to discuss an idea. When the idea of Zvartar, let's see that idea of Zvartar. Oh, let's have a Zvartar. Do you ever hear people in the world when they get together at a banquet and a drink and say, well, let's have an uncle. I made a phone with you, though, down in Providence. They said they attended one of these big, they weren't actually invited, but it was in the same hotel, and they walked in, slipped in, looked around, here we go. So, first they opened down tuxedos, they eat, they drink. And then afterwards they say, well, now for the raffle, because you have a raffle for the, Does anybody ever get up and say, well, I think it's just an idea. We're here for 4 hours, you have one idea. Never know. That's only the opposite. It could be said to another. What is right? Do you want to say that you're not allowed to take cook and make tools of it, because you're degrading the pocket. So what does he want to say? So he want to say, so then what are they supposed to do? So what are you supposed to do for entertainment? There's more to say. That if you know chumis, you know chumis, you know mystery, you see the ones that depend on the level. If a person is not obeying the Tom, so he discusses an idea of chumis. Some idea, and everybody's level is an idea that he can appreciate. So the same Torah tells me, so that's the way you entertain yourself. Not a chassid or more stuff. So what do you see? So what I'm saying is like this. What the Navi is saying is, what did you substitute? You gave this up. You don't believe in God. You don't like God. Okay, I'll see. You don't like that. But what kind of a lifestyle did you substitute? A lifestyle where instead of Friday night coming home to an idea of Kedusha, of eating something which, eating a meal which is tied in to a concept of knowledge of God, of God the creator of the universe. And instead of doing that, so what do you do? You come home and you're doing what's going on. Do you honestly believe that this is a superior existence? That's what the Navi said. Okay, you left God. But what about, what did you substitute? You substitute an empty life? It's not the most existence. The existence that doesn't have any kind of inner satisfaction. The person is just bored and looking for the outlook like a behemoth. That's what, Lachtov and Boros. Boros is born with somebody who's all my own money. That's what the Navi said. You don't want to think about God. All by yourself, you don't think about God. You're not in that position. You're not really thinking about God. But what kind of a lifestyle do you have? That's what the Navi said in your own life. Besides that, the idea of Hajj Mazar, the idea of Hajj Nawak, especially the finishing of Shakti. You ever really finish your Shakti? You don't have to
finish.
Because
that was so bad.
Anthony, you're not finishing your Shakti. You finish your block, you can't finish your Shakti. You can't, because the area of Torah is really an area that was given to us by God, and it's endless. And if a person studies it, you see, and you can never get to it. It's an impossibility. Reb Moshe Feinstein, who knew Shas and Poskim, who himself said, you cannot even learn Shas the Eon in one lifetime. It's an impossibility to do. Look, I'm not talking about finishing the endless chokhma that each is pursued. But just learn the Eon. You have to learn the Eon. That's what it means to you. Learn it. 100 a year, whatever it is. The Eon. It's an impossibility for a person to learn self-belief. So much? Then Odom Lachavero is different than what the world thinks that Odom Lachavero is. And that is the woman they call the Dayan Kong. The Dayan is woman. They call it Mother Teresa. The person like that is just involved in a. It's just involved. That's Christian action. What does it mean? It means this person actually, not the question is what's the world of religious ethics like this? A person has an emotion to disregard another individual, they practice that emotion by compensating them by being very kind. So they spend their whole lives just trying to overcome that emotion, basically. They are concerned totally with the self and convincing themselves that they really aren't vicious. As a matter of fact, it's an amazing thing, but they want some interview about it. And he said, what started your control from? But she said, because he's lying to me one time, she had a thought like a vicious thought. And she said, I see I could become Hitler, and therefore she's spending her whole life trying to prove that she's not. So this is basically a very selfish thing. So you get it? It's a selfish thing because the person is just trying to deny an instinct. That's not what we hold in our head. That's a misogynist. For a riot, the truth is, if she could not stab a person enough, she could not stab that person's definition. This person has nothing to do with any kind of problem, any kind of rational thing. It's just a simple overcoming emotion. So what? The only thing I would say is, it could be that it's beneficial for other people if they're the object of this emotion. That has nothing to do with the thing itself. Right? But in the other thing, the Olam HaVero is a different concept. The Olam HaVero is, the recognition is based upon, as a matter of fact, the only one of the Talmid HaChamim Ma'avim Shalom Ba'olam. Why is it Talmid HaChamim Ma'avim Shalom Ba'olam? Because when a person is Talmid HaChamim, he has a different kind of relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, a different kind of Avas Hashem. And Avas Hashem demands that you recognize every creature that God gave this ability to partake of the Chachma. So, but via Avas Hashem, you come to Avas Hashem. And that's a different kind of Ben Allah HaVera. So it's not a Ben Allah HaVera that you're doing to satisfy your own ego, that I'm a very nice gal, to help this person. It's an appreciation of another person. It's a different kind of a thing. By chesed, a person should be naturally drawn to chesed. Anyway, on the highest level. On the highest level, a person should be naturally drawn to chesed, not something you have to talk into himself. That's talk into himself. I'm not saying don't do it, but I'm saying that's not the highest level. There's one lesson I would say, and that is, again, maybe I mentioned once before, but of course we in Yadis have an interesting philosophy, and that is, in order to study something, you study the highest level. That's the way it is. It's a true mutual level of this mountain. That's correct. In order to study something, you study the highest level. But that's because in the highest level, the most extreme, you can see it the clearest. And that's the proper way to do it. But you shouldn't think that in application, you have to apply it in the highest level. That's not correct, and if you get that impression, you're making a mistake. The only reason you study in the highest level is because when it's in the hearing, you can see it the clearest. So we believe that when the mind understands something clearly, it has an effect on the person. And even though we aren't on that level that we could live like an Avraham Avinu or a Yitzchak or Yaakov, we want to know everything we can about them to understand the perfection. It's anti-ego, because ego would demand the only one of those things that you feel you can do, you can identify with. But anti-ego knowledge is that even though I could never, I will never be able to reach that level. But the fact is, I wonder if we'll see that before. So rather than being disappointing, the only reason it's disappointing sometimes, I feel a lot of times when we discuss things that maybe it's going to be disappointing. See, you're studying people on such a high level, how can we ever get there? But that's not really the goal. The goal is, on the contrary, to be able to enjoy when we study our ethics, is to be able to enjoy what ethics the ideas of ethics are on the highest level. Then you appreciate the concept and understand the idea. And when God just maintains that if you do that, then this affects your whole, the knowledge affects the person is inner essence. It reaches his inner essence. And affects him that way rather than by the egoistic way where I want to think that I'm a great person, so I can study all the same things that I feel like I do. It's an important thing. So it shouldn't be depressing. You have to drop the ego. In our society, everything is ego-oriented. And you see, that's the whole philosophy of society. You have to always remember, it's important to realize, the fact that how we are influenced by our environment makes it inescapable. But you can be aware of it. That's why when you look at the school, that the school sounds like, you either that school, it sounds outdated. Yeah, I know. It is outdated, because in today's society, it just doesn't realize what the
that what they're referring to is what the society is. That's exactly what you're saying, basically. You don't realize that, but the truth is that everything that our society stands for, openly, overtly, and covertly, whatever it is, north, in any manner, shape, or form, all the signals they're giving us, it's from the totally distorted view of reality, yes.